turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to rehearse the main thing that Jesus told the pastor at Ephesus. He said, "You have left your first love." Jesus didn't tell him that he had left his works, his labor, or his patience. He is simply saying now, your labor is no longer a labor of love, and your patience is no longer a patience in hope, because you left the first love. You didn't leave your works, your labor, or your patience. You left your first love. And then in verse 6, Jesus commends him, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." If you'll remember, back in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, when the church chose 7 men to take care of the administrative business of the church, such as the food pantry, the clothes pantry, they chose 7. One of those, the last one mentioned, was Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Do you think that maybe it could be this Nicholas that became so apostate that he began to teach a false doctrine? It is possible, because these men did more than fill soup bowls in the kitchen. These men were full of faith and wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. They went about preaching. You remember Stephen's. He was a great minister, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, did many miracles. And then there was Philip. You know about Philip. He was a great evangelist, had a great revival in the city of Samaria. God took him out into the desert to bring the gospel to a eunuch from Africa. These were not the run-of-the-mill pantry workers. They were dedicated to God. They went where God wanted them to go. We need men like that serving in the church, don't we? We need men like that today, working in the soup kitchen, working on the street ministry, working in the hospitals. We could use more of those kind of men. We do know that others became apostate and walked away from the faith. Demas was a man who traveled with Paul, who was Paul's fellow workman in the gospel. When he and Paul was in Rome, Paul wrote to his friend Timothy and says, "Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world." Demas headed out to Thessalonica, no doubt where the good life was going on, where the night life was flourishing. Having loved this present world, he just walked away from Paul and all that Paul had. We do know that honest and sincere Christians can be deceived by the devil, can be deceived by the pleasures of sin, can be deceived by false teachers that would teach you that God wants you to live your best life right here. I hope this is not my best life. If it is, I am like the Apostle Paul. I, of all men, would be most miserable. I hope my best life is during my retirement, when I retire into that city whose builders and maker is God. That's the best life I'm looking for. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And when I get down to verse 7, I find that here, in this verse, he is not only talking to the angel of the church, he's talking to whoever will. Although this epistle is addressed to the angel or to the pastor, yet it concludes with an exhortation to the individual Christian, to him that has an ear to hear, Let him listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. When I read that, my mind went back to our first parents and his descendants, back to the paradise from which they were separated, were shut out of, lest they should eat of the tree of life, which was in the midst of that garden. But it appears that here is the promise that the prohibition has been withdrawn. The flaming swords of the cherubims, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, have been put away, and that the paradise of God will be available to all those who overcome, who trust him. It's a promise to the overcomers. Aren't you glad? It appears that all that has been lost shall be ours if we become an overcomer. I heard a preacher on the radio the other day reading this same verse, and he says, the children of God, the born-again believer, has nothing to overcome. Once you get saved, you have overcome everything. Well, that's contrary to what I read in the scriptures all through the Bible. We are admonished to overcome the evil one, to be more than a conqueror. When I heard that, I just shook my head. Christians today, ministers, teachers, and laymen alike, are fond of proclaiming God's pardoning love. But much too often, they forget his preserving love. We take too much for granted that men will go into that far country as that foolish younger son did. And we forget that much maligned elder son who stayed at home with his father and who was therefore far more blessed than the other could ever be. The elder son could not understand his father's love and gentleness and forgiveness to his never-do-well brother, as many still today fail to understand God's gentleness and love to the returning sinner. So how did the father answer the elder son? Listen to what he says. Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. What I get from this is, what, my son? You complain at my forgiving and welcoming your poor wretched brother? You, who are so much better off, you complain? The elder son was better off. His lot, as is the lot of all those who have never left their first love. Never let it be forgotten that he who brought you to himself will keep you near to himself, and more willingly even to receive you again if you ever go astray. To be pardoned, we thank God for that, but to be preserved, to have been kept from the evil so that it will not hurt us, to have been kept in the love of God, for that more thanksgiving is due. May God grant that we may be able to forever and ever render unto him the praises that are due him.